This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Good afternoon or good evening, brethren. I believe the Lord has been speaking to our hearts since we came yesterday. Well, my name is Isaac Olatunde, and I'm a brother in Christ. I don't know how much to really say about myself. I'm currently in the seminary at South Hamilton. I'm doing a master's program in divinity and also in counseling, mental health counseling and family therapy. I'm a Nigerian. Yeah, what more? I don't know. So I think that's just it. Okay. Yes, we're missionaries. We're missionary with Calvary Ministry in Nigeria. And our last mission post is United Arab Emirates, where we were for about 7 years before coming for further studies. And if the Lord wills, He will send us back there or somewhere in the Gulf. So it's been a great joy to be part of what the Lord is doing. We got to know about the house church through our sister, Mrs. Oshin, who has been a partner with Calvary Ministry for many years. We heard about them, but we never met them until we got here and we were linked together. And it's been a rich fellowship, coming to know the house church, coming to know Rosoni and all the other people. And now God expanding it, coming to know all of you also today. I didn't prepare to share anything today. It was Rosoni that I mentioned just this afternoon if maybe we could share some things. And I came to receive from the Lord, honestly. And the last time we were at the house church, he mentioned about this retreat program. And then they said we should be praying for God's presence at the retreat and ask those who want to pray about it. And I said I will pray. And my wife and I have been praying since then. So we want more and more and more of God in our life. And I believe that's the desire of all of us. As Bro Freddy was saying, singing this song, do we really mean it? Because if the Lord will answer this, if it will come like refiner's fire, if it's going to purify us like silver, I hope we all know how silver is purified. I mean, in Malachi, it talks about purification. I understand that the way silver is purified is the purifier seat. A seat. Let's look at Malachi. That gives us a kind of a picture of how it is done, because if God would do this for me, I know it's going to be tough. But He is loving. He will not let me get burnt off. You know, I think it's in chapter 3, Malachi. Let's see, I will send my messenger. Who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of His coming? Talking about the day of the Lord's coming. Maybe the coming in the future. But we are asking Him to come now to visit us. And then He gives a kind of what to expect. He said, who can stand when He appears? For He will be like a refiner's fire. Or a launderer's soap, he will see it. It's not going to be in a hurry. He will sit as a refiner. Refiner sits. And then hold the tongue where the silver is and put it on fire. So there is no hurriedness about it. It's going to sit. And he will put the silver on fire. By my understanding, I heard that How he will know that the silver is purified? Is it for me? How he will know that the silver is purified is when he sees the reflection of his face on the silver. The silver will become like a mirror. And when he sees the reflection of his face on the silver, then he takes it out of fire. He said he will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offering in righteousness. And the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord. In other words, it's not acceptable before until there is refining. So can we wait until we be like him? Until he can see his face in us? Until we can be like the apostles, who even though they were uneducated, but the Sanhedrin, they made a comment. They will see these people are uneducated, but they have been with Jesus. We take note that they have been with Jesus. We can see the reflection of Christ in them. We can see the life of Jesus in them. This is my prayer, and I believe this is the prayer of each and every one of us. I don't know what the Lord wants to do in our midst during this time, but the Lord might be calling some of us to go to places we never dream of. The Lord may be calling some of us to get out of the comfort zone where we are in right now. The Lord may be calling some of us to take a journey that we never imagine. That people around us might actually say, are you crazy? Are you sure he's the one speaking to you? Are you going to leave this and go for that? Because when we talk about mission, our God is a missionary God. Somebody said, God has one child and he made him a missionary. By sending Jesus Christ here on earth, the word that became flesh and took his residence among us. He said the word became flesh and what? And dwell among us. He left his glory. He left everything to become just like us. And is Jesus not calling us to the same? Is he not calling us to follow in his step? Because when Paul was speaking to the Philippians in chapter 2, what did he say? He said, let this attitude be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. In other words, follow the pattern of Jesus. Imitate Jesus, who even though being God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp. But he made himself of no reputation. He's calling us to make ourselves of no reputation. We've talked about the faith of Abraham. Abraham was a missionary. Abraham left everything. Let's look at that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12. He left everything. He left everything. I pray that we'll be open to hear what God is speaking to our heart. I pray I will be open to hear what God is saying, that by the time we conclude tomorrow and we're going, we are ready to implement what God has said. Amen. Look at the call of Abraham. Chapter 12. And the Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. It was a call out of people to something else. As our brother shared in the morning, he was an idol worshiper. And God said, now I am calling you. And you have to leave everything and go to the land I will show you. Assuming the Lord is speaking to you today to go to the land he will show you, will you respond to him? Because we've been talking about the faith of Abraham. Because when all these words are coming, God is using the word to do things in our life. God called Abraham. We are seed of Abraham through Christ. Do we want to be like our father Abraham? And he said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to seek others so that they might be saved. We are reconciled and given the ministry of reconciliation so that we can bring others to Christ. So we become reconciled, reconciler. Reconciled, reconciler. So that we can bring others to Christ. And Abraham obeyed. The place we read yesterday in Hebrew 11 showed how difficult it could be. Why God said, this is faith. Because he obeyed. We are very calculative. We want details. I want details. If God called me, I want details. I want to know details of everything. What's going to happen? How will I be taken care of? How will my children be educated? That was part of my concern when the Lord called me as a pharmacist to go into mission. How will my children be taken care of? What about their education? As a pharmacist in my country, that's a big thing. Apart from that, God in his mercy has actually helped us to own our own pharmacy. And he's saying, go. So it's a concern in my heart. How? What's going to happen? What about my children's education? People are even ask. People are even saying, can't you combine this with your pastoral or mission work? What is wrong with doing pharmacy and also doing mission or sending money to support mission? What's wrong with that? It's good. People will help you to, they will rationalize things for you. They will help you. That's why you should be very careful in consulting people when God has spoken to you. Sometimes it's better to inform people rather than consulting them. You know, to rationalize it. It's not everybody God will call like that. It's true that some people God called you to support, you know, or to pray. But don't say, I will support when God is saying you should go. You just deceive yourself. So Abraham left. Look at Hebrew 11, verse 8. And see the situation of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he will later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Friends, brothers, sisters, I think we need something major here. It's just one word. Obedience. Obedience. Obedience to what God says. That's what is important. Obedience is holiness. If you trust God and believe Him truly, you will obey. If you don't obey, that means you don't trust Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. So when we don't love God, it's not love problem we have, it's obedience problem, disobedience. But we don't trust. He said, he called him and he obeyed and went. I had a story of a couple, they just newly married, and they believe God wants them to go and reach out to the leprous people, to lepers. And this was, you know, the time that no cure, you know, for leprosy. And they go to the entrance. Of the, did they call it leprosodium, where they keep the leper? Yeah. And the man at the gate said, so what do you want? He said, we want to go in and minister and preach to the leper. And the man said, well, I see people going, but I don't see them come out. So, I see people going, don't see them come up. So they look at each other, the husband and the wife. It's a point of decision. And the young man has his young wife. What are we going to do? Let's think about it. Maybe we need to consult people. Say. And the young wife said, what the master said is, go. He did not say come. So the man is correct by saying, you only see people go. So what the master said is, go. And they went. They brought many lepers to Christ. They too became lepers. But we will see them in heaven. Obedience. 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 This is what we need. I don't think that there will be anybody here who will say he did not hear God speak to him at this meeting. The issue is obedience. Look at that verse again. He said, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. Really? How old was Abraham? 75, I think. Am I right? And they asked, old man, where are you going? He said, I don't know. Old man, you say you're going somewhere. Where are you going? He said, I don't know. How does that stand? People say, he said, I don't know. That's obedience. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet received. Even though our father Abraham, he did not know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For what? He was looking forward to the city whose foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And when we look about, when we read about Moses there too, you know, in a place there, he said, Moses saw him who was invisible. Faith is see the invisible. So obedience. And he responded. He left. God might be speaking to us. Please let us obey. We're still learning to walk with the Lord. The beloved, since we responded to the call to mission, we have had no regret. God is faithful. The same God of Abraham was faithful to Abraham is the same God. He is faithful. If he has said it, he will fulfill it. All we need to do is to obey. In my country, Nigeria, we keep twins. Many, many years ago. Because the birth of a twin in Cross River State of my country is a bad omen. It's a sign that the girls are angry. They kill the twins. Or they kill one and spare one in Calabar. The girls send a woman who stopped the killing of twins in my country. That's why in that Cross River State, anybody who is a twin, you know, thank God for sending me this lesson. Thank God for sending Mary Slessor. When you go to Calabar, you see Mary Slessor High School, Mary Slessor Memorial Hospital, Mary Slessor. And what happened? It's a young lady. Somebody came from Africa and began sharing about the need in Africa. And she was there. About the need in Africa. God needs people in Africa. There are many people group on reach in Africa. And she was there. And she heard God's voice speaking to her that God, that he wants to use her in a place called Calabar in Africa, in Nigeria. And she stepped out. She was prayed for. But she was engaged. They have actually arranged the wedding day with her fiance. And fiance was a successful businessman. And she shared with the fiance. The fiance is a believer, born again child of God. But after sharing with him, they want to say, Africa, white man, graveyard. Because that's what they call Africa. Come to Nigeria. I will take you to the graveyard of white people who have come to change our nation. You go to Fiditi, you see the graveyard of many missionaries. The man said, graveyard? to go to graveyard, because during that time when they are sending some missionaries, they actually do funeral service for them before they send them, because many of them don't come back. They get bitten by mosquito and that's it. Malaria, killing people there. So this man is born again. It's not that he's not born again, but he told me this lesson. I'm sorry. I don't have a vision for Africa. So she had to make a choice whether to go ahead with the wedding and continue to be a member of the church and maybe support. You know, some people, they are so good in using money to support
or to pray, but they cannot go.
So she had to make a choice, either to follow the voice of the master or to get married. Now, this man, the man is not, I'm not saying, he's born again, he's a child of God. But Mary's lesson chose to follow the master. And we talk about her today. And now we can have Taiwo, Kende, Hussein. They have different names they give to twins, because she was the one that said, no, twins is a blessing. And everything changed. I don't know what God has chosen to use you for, but God is looking for people. Let's respond to him. He may call you when you're young. He may call you when you are 75. Whichever time God calls you, please make an adjustment. Every step, every time you choose to follow the law, there is faith crisis. There will be a lot of questions in your heart. If you choose to follow him, he will surely back us up. I thought of so many scriptures that God gave to me, you know, my wife, as the Lord was calling us, first to be in the north, then in Sudan, and then in the United Arab Emirates. We are here now, trusting God to move us back there. So many scriptures in the Bible that pointed to the fact that God is looking for people. Look at John 10, 16. Let's just look at a few of it. John 10, 16. That does not mean all of us should go to the bush. That does not mean all of us should catch a vision to a certain part of Nigeria or India or Congo or Uzbekistan. No. What we are saying is, whatever the Lord tells you, obey. Whatever he asks you to do, do it. John chapter 10, verse 16. Please, can somebody read for us? Yes. Who is this shepherd talking? The good shepherd. He has other sheep. He must bring them too. And those who are outside too, he must bring. I was very reluctant to go to northern part of Nigeria. I was reluctant because partly I was looking for money. And I felt after my youth service in the north, I should go back to the south because I had a job already. But just like you've been encouraged to pray at that time too, there's a group called Nigerian Youth Corpus, Christian Youth Corpus. They were asking us to pray that God will send you to anywhere he wants. You know, don't just take job anywhere. But I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be in the north. Because also I was looking for money. And I also thinking of my safety. I didn't want to die. Because you must be hearing about a lot of religious crisis in northern Nigeria. But this was the scripture that broke it finally. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Finally. And I believe the Lord speaks to us through different scriptures. As we stay close to him. I'm just reading this, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I started from chapter 1. Just using it for my quiet time. Then this day of my quiet time, I read this chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Timothy. Can anybody help us to read from 1 to 4? 1 to 6. This was the scripture. I've been reading the scripture. And I know what Paul was encouraging Timothy, his son, in faith, is that he should encourage the people to pray for those in authority. Whatever government that is in power then, maybe Greco-Roman government, whichever, which is actually oppressing people, say, pray for them. You don't need to agree with the policy of any president. God didn't say, pray for them if you agree with their policy. God didn't say, pray for them if they are Democrat or they are Republican. Is that what he said? Pray for those in authority. This is what he's saying here. But the place that gripped my heart is, he wants all men to be saved and to come to this, to his saving knowledge. And then verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. And what came to my mind at that point as I read it is, Jesus is the mediator between God and men. Like God sending me to people who don't believe that Jesus is the mediator between God and men, the Muslims, who believes Muhammad is the last prophet, and Jesus is just one of the prophets, not the Son of God. The Lord just began expanding all this for my own personal application. This was what led me to the now. And I thought it's going to be just for a short time. You see, one step of obedience leads to the other. When you obey God one step, he will tell you the next step. Please don't go into a meeting with God to give you details of your life from now till you go to the tomb. Obey him first, and then you move. I just thought we're going to be in the northern part of Nigeria, then get back to my business. From there, the next thing we find ourselves elsewhere. The next thing we find ourselves in Sudan. The next thing, United Arab Emirates. We don't know where you are going from here. One step of obedience leads toward the other. Philip was having a tremendous ministry in Samaria. Romans chapter 8. Is it 8 or 6? Acts chapter 8. I think that was a great ministry. In Samaria, the Bible says there was a great joy in the city. I don't know how many members of the church. But that's a powerful ministry going on there. And the next thing we had is that an angel spoke to him, go to the desert road. Desert road. Assuming Philip has gone to make some consultation to find out whether it is an angel of God speaking or the Spirit of God really speaking to him. It would have missed this man that was taking the gospel to Africa, the Ethiopian eunuch. And he agreed. He followed the instruction. In fact, he was not told that there is somebody for him to meet along the way. Was he told that? No. He only said, go to the desert road. And implicitly, he obeyed. And then this man was coming from Jerusalem. You see, you can go to Jerusalem and you didn't receive what you went for. The man went to Jerusalem for pilgrimage to get to know God more. But on the way, he was coming back. And taking the right step at the right time, he met the man at the right place. And then the next instruction came, join yourself to this chariot. So step by, when you obey God in one step, he will tell you the next. And then preach the gospel to this man. And the man got baptized. And the next thing, he didn't go back to Samaria. Am I right? I think there was a... He went to Asotus. So the ministry in Samaria is over. What if the Lord said, your time in the United States is over? If he says that, are you not going to explain some things with him and say, no, I have plans I have set out for my life. I think some of our plans make God laugh when we lay out some plans for 10 years. I'm not saying it's not good to make plans, but can we just tell him and say, you are free to interrupt my plan? I'm yours. Just do what you like with me. I don't think it sounds good to say no, Lord. I think no, Lord doesn't sound good. Does it sound good? No, Lord doesn't go together. Because if it's not the Lord of all, it's not the Lord at all. It must always be what? Yes, Lord. He's the Lord, so he has the right for our life. So, brethren, there are still a lot in the world that have not had Jesus.
Do you agree with me? There are places that
they don't even know the name Jesus. They've never had. When you mention Jesus, they may say, is it the name of a tree or a river somewhere or what? They've not had. It bothers me. When there are a lot of people that have had the gospel over and over and over again, it bothers me. What right has any man to hear the gospel twice when some people have not even had it once?
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Well, don't you believe this scripture in Revelation? Let's open it. Don't you believe in the fulfillment of this scripture? That every people, every tongue, every language is represented before the throne. The people have not had now, they will have representative in heaven. Do you believe that? In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Please, somebody can read for us from 9 to 10. Revelation 7. Amen. This is the revelation that God gave John about the end time, about heaven. Do you believe the word of God? He said, I saw. Now, in the original language, that nation is not talking about geographical. It's ethnos, which means ethnic, people group. So in the United States, we have so many people groups here, correct? That's what it's talking. So when you say nation, there, it's not talking United States,
Nigeria.
No. In Nigeria, we have more than 500 people groups. And each of these people group must have representative in the presence of God. This is what he's saying. He said, I look, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation. Every ethnos, every tribe, every people group, every language, they stood before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches. And they were crying, salvation belongs to our God.
The Saudis say, our God.
The Bahrainis, they say, our God. Mention all the other people groups that have not had the gospel preached to them. And how can they hear? If nobody go to them, if the Lord send you, will you go? If the Lord choose to interrupt what you are doing now, will you go? Will you respond to him? Because he wants these people to be reached with the gospel. I pray the Lord will help us to respond to his call in Jesus' name. And we walk among the of Bedouin people in the United Arab Emirates. And friends, they are coming to Christ. They are coming to Christ. I had a privilege and opportunity of a man who called the hospital where I was working as a chaplain that he wants to talk to the priest. And since the staff, they knew I'm there. They called me, because I work as a chaplain and the staff are from different denominations. Some call me priest, some call me father, some call me pastor, some call me reverend. So, and this man called and that he wants to talk to the priest. And then The person that spoke to him in our reception is a Muslim. So he called me and he said, Father, I don't know why this man, a Muslim, is calling to see priest. I don't want to give problem for you. You know, the Muslim person was saying, I don't know why he's asking that kind of question, because I know it is not legal in this country for a Muslim person to come and talk to a father. He was so much afraid, the Muslim staff. But I said, that's okay. And I met this guy. You know
how the dress
all covered down? I mean, with the wives and everything. And he said, can we go to my office? And I said, not really, because me too, I was a little bit afraid, because I don't know what you want to talk about. I said, do you mind if you go inside your car? He said, that's fine. So we went into his car. And he said, can you see me? I said, yes. You know I'm a citizen, I'm a local. I said, yes, I can see that. He said, I want to become a Christian. I was a little bit afraid. I said, is he trying to trap me? But you know, if people want to trap you, I think they should trap you about your proclaiming the gospel. I shared with him, I made it a bit more tough, more difficult, you know the implication, you know this, you know that. I said, yes. And he said, actually what happened is his brother, who is an Islamic scholar, brought a Bible home to discredit the Bible. But he saw the Bible and began to read and discovered that is the truth. And from then, God began working in his heart, but he doesn't have anybody to really lead him to Christ. And right there, he became a believer. We started discipling from one corner to another, until persecution rose up against him. We believe he's still in the faith. They are coming to Christ. Friends, what is the solution to terrorism? What's the solution to this terrorism? The gospel of love. We were praying for Osama bin Laden till he was killed. Okay, look at Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Look at him before he became a believer. What kind of person will you call him? Saul of Tarsus. Was he not killing people? Was he not throwing people into prison? Out of zeal for God? Because you see, the people you see who are terrorists, they start to zeal for God. They believe they're doing God's service. Because one of the ways for Muslims to be guaranteed of going to heaven is through terrorism. I hope you know that. That's one of the surest ways. They call it jihad. That if we preach the gospel to them, no man will want to put bomb on himself if he comes to faith in Christ. Let's reach them with Christ before they reach us with bombs. There are terrorists who are coming to faith in Christ. If you don't believe me, just go on the internet and Google More Than Dreams. www.morethandreams and see how Jesus reveal and show himself in dreams to terrorists who are now preaching the gospel as people continue to pray for them. They are being saved. And I want to just encourage you, the Lord may be calling you. In the United Arab Emirates, we have few believers now. In Saudi Arabia, actually there is a church in Mecca, for your information, underground church in Mecca, which is actually illegal for when you're going on the way to Mecca, there is a sign that no passage for Christians, for non-Muslims. In other words, this road is for Muslims, this road is for non-Muslims. But right inside Mecca, there is church coming up, underground churches. I have met a Saudi believer. So it's possible. Don't be afraid. In case God speaks to you today and say, I want to send you there. If he sends you there, he will back you up. And even if you die there, maybe that is part of the way he wants you to glorify him. Because many will still die for the cause of the gospel. Many will still die. God said, those of you who are crying, wait until your other brethren come, who will also be killed for the sake of the gospel. Some will die. Some will glorify Jesus through that. It may even be through your death that some will come to faith in Christ. The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. Let's pray together. Are you a disciple of Christ? Let us summarize some priority. Be talking about what's your priority? What's your priority? Do you choose to please him whatever happens? Jesus said, anyone who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Are you his disciple? Is he calling you to go? Or calling you to pray? Or calling you to give? Whatever he asks you to do, please do it. Just choose to follow him. There is joy in serving the Lord. Take a step of faith. You don't need to see. All you need to see is him. Don't see the storm. If you look at the storm, you're going to sink. Just see him and focus on him alone. And he will lead and he will die. Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Please help us. Help us to walk with you daily. Lord, please. Help us to live for you every day of our life. If there be any one of us you're speaking to our heart at this hour to do something, it may not even be mission, but things that will bring us closer to you, Lord, please give us the grace to obey you. May it be radical for you. May it be fundamentalist for Jesus. Lord, please help us, Lord. Help us that our eyes will be so much on you that everything